I'll do something a little different. I don't think I've ever done that. I know I've never done this before. But I've never had an eighth child before either, so I guess there's always more first than you plan on. Amen? I guess some of you can relate to that. But we're here tonight to dedicate young Jackson Timothy to God's purposes. And I am actually going to, I want to take some time before we bring him forward. And I want to actually preach to my baby son. Never done that before. Acquaintance of ours and the Kreths saw on Facebook where his daughter just got married and he ended up in ICU this week, Mark Maynard. And a guy's a picture of health. He's in very good health. And just this weird thing happened. And I got to thinking about that. I said, you know, I may not be around for this kid's growing up. We don't know. We are not promised tomorrow. And as a result, I've always threatened with my children that if these older ones didn't straighten up and get it together, that I was going to preach my own funeral via video. Still thinking about that. And I already know my opening line is going to be, well, first of all, I thought there'd be more of you. Secondly, I thought you'd be a whole lot more broken up than you are. But all of that being said, I don't know. All I know is that I'm here today, and I have this opportunity, and we have this technology that allows my voice to be captured and to be saved for the future. And so I want to talk to Jackson tonight a little bit. And he's doing what most of my children do when I preach. He is sleeping. But that's all right. One day, Jackson, you'll listen to this. And maybe it will remind you of some things that are vital and that are most important. So let me for a few moments talk to my son, and I want to let you listen on in. The first thing I want to say to you, Jackson, is that we love you. You were a surprise. Your mom and dad thought that we were too old to have any more children. That chapter in our life had closed, and someone once said, if you want to make God laugh, make plans. And we were making plans to marry our children off and one day become grandparents ourselves. Little did we know that before that would ever have a chance to happen, that you would show up in our lives. Also want to tell you that your mom and I weren't together when I found out that you were coming along. She was on her way to her mom and dad's house, and Sam, your brother Sam, and I were in a truck out in between Butler and Reynolds, Georgia. We were working. I still remember the bridge. Every time I pass it, I get this blank, panicky feeling. And I remember getting a call from your mother, and she said, you're not going to believe this. And I thought, oh boy, because it was winter time, Jackson. It was, when was it? December. I thought the van broke down in the snow. I had all kinds of things. And she said, I bought a pregnancy test. And I said, what did you do that for? And your mama said, well, what do you think I did that for? And I said, well, was it positive? She said, do you think I would be calling you if it was negative? And Jackson, you'll learn this if the Lord allows me to be around for your raising. I am rarely speechless. I always have something to say, but I couldn't even form words at that moment. I was trying to process what your mom said, and it just didn't. The dots did not want to connect, and so that was a rather big surprise. I will say that your mom had a great pregnancy. That before you were born, your oldest brother. I'll talk about your siblings in a moment, but your oldest brother Paul was married, and then your oldest sister Anna was married. And even with all of that going on, we had a great pregnancy with you. Now, once you got into this world, things were a little bit different, and that's kind of on your end. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. But let me tell you, Jackson, that we are thrilled that you're here. And you are a beautiful child. Now, let me tell you some things that we know. We don't know a lot. but we know a few things. And one of the first things that we know comes from the Bible. Jackson, you need to know that God placed you in a family that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't flesh that out perfectly, and you're going to learn that if you haven't figured it out already. But at our heart of hearts, we are followers of Christ. And as such, your mom and I, we do our best to run our family by the book. And that book is God's Word, the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." This is one of my pet peeve verses, Jackson, and you'll learn this over the years because it's so taken out of context. It's not a promise. It's a proverb. There is a difference. It doesn't mean that if we keep you in church that you're going to turn out to be a good person. That is not what that verse means. What that verse literally means, to train up a child, that is an agricultural term. And it dealt with a vineyard. And those grapevines were very thick at the bottom. And then the vines would grow out of the branches would grow out of the trunk of that grapevine. And then the husbandmen, they were called, of the vineyard, would take those branches and he would train them to go in a certain direction. Generally would run them across a wire so that they would go horizontal to the ground at just the right height for the fruit that they would eventually bear. So we are called to train you in the way that you should go. Now I want you to know, Jackson, that neither I or your mother are smart enough to know exactly what that way looks like. However, we do know that you have a natural God-given bent, that God designed you with some innate characteristics. And it is our job to, first of all, figure out how God made you and how he wired you up. And then to encourage those natural God-given bents so that when you are old, you will live a life of authenticity and you will be the man that God destined you to be. With that in mind, let me tell you a little bit about your family. First of all, let me tell you about your mom. Your mom is an amazing lady. You'll figure that out soon enough as well. And she has given birth to 8 children, and you also have a brother or sister in heaven that we look forward to meeting one day. I would tell you, Jackson, just in the interest of going along to getting along, don't mess with your mother. Because if you do, you'll have me to mess with. You'll have me to deal with. I won't put up with that, because before she was ever your mama, she was my wife. When you grow up and leave my house, she will still be my wife. She is my number one priority, and she comes first. You need to know that. In our house, the priority relationship is the relationship between your mom and I. And as a result, that will cause you to be healthy. But your mom's a great woman. She's very smart. She's quiet until you make her angry. Then she'll have a few things to say. When she does have something to say, you would do well to listen, because she is one of the wisest people I've ever met. You and I, we will get to know each other over the years. Your mother is consistent. She's pretty much the same person day and night, and I'm exactly the opposite. You never know who you're going to deal with. I tend to be all over the map, but that is how God made me. I want you to know, too, that we are not perfect and do not claim to be. You have been delivered into a family of fallen people who have been redeemed by the grace of God. Tell you a little bit about your siblings. Your oldest brother, Paul, as of this recording, is 24 years old, and he's been married a whopping 5 months? Going on 5 months. Wow, is that right? That does not seem possible. Best thing he ever did, Jackson, was marry this gal named Courtney. And Paul has been a blessing from day one. He was a breeze to raise. He has been a joy. I can count on one hand the times I have had to severely rebuke him. And I would encourage you to learn from your brother. If you could be like him in that aspect, then you would be a great blessing to your mom and I. You have another brother who couldn't be with us tonight because he's in Kansas in school. His name is Zach. We call him Bubba. I don't exactly know where that started, that name, but we call him Bubba. And Paul and Zach are very different from one another. Paul was very easy to raise, and Zach made up for Paul's ease. However, in this Proverbs 22:6, Zach has a bent, and boy is he bent. But he is bent very much in the area of creativity. He plays a piano amazingly. And the lady that played the piano for us tonight, Miss Winnie, was the one who started him on that path. And when he is old, I am sure he will not depart from his outlet of music to bring glory to God. Zach is a lot of fun. He's kind of crazy, and you will probably have some really good times with Zachary. Then you have your oldest sister. Her name is Anna, and the best thing her husband ever did was marry her. And Anna was already married when you came along. And has been very concerned. I want you to know she's been very concerned that you know that she is your sister and that you two are close because she no longer lives in our house. And she has made a great effort, Jackson, to be in your life as much as possible. Anna is full of life. She loves life. She lives it pedal to the metal, and she always has since she was a little child. And you're going to have a lot of good times with her as well, I have no doubt. And her husband, Joseph, your brother-in-law, you will probably learn a lot of things from him as well, especially about the outdoors. He's a fine man, and you will have some good times, I'm sure, at their house in the not-too-distant future. Matter of fact, you've already spent a whole night at their house when you were very young because you were driving your mother crazy by staying up all night. Then you have a sister named Ellie. And you remember I told you that Paul and Zach were night and day? Well, Anna and Ellie are night and day from each other. If you ever want to know what Anna's thinking, just be quiet long enough and she'll tell you. You may never know what Ellie's thinking. Matter of fact, if you did know what she was thinking, it would probably frighten all of us. But Ellie is quiet, and there's an old saying, Jackson, that says, still water runs deep. And Ellie is a very deep person. She thinks deeply. She loves deeply. And she, as a result, is very guarded in expressing that. But I want you to know something. Ellie has your number. I can't even figure out how to comfort you. Your mama knows, and somehow, and I don't understand it, Jackson, but Ellie knows. Ellie knows where you need to be padded. She carries you around like a rag doll. You will have a strong neck because she bobs you all over the place. And if you have a pain in the neck, you can probably blame Ellie for that. That probably happened as a result of her loving you. But you will enjoy her as well, and I trust you'll have some time together with her before she goes on to her life's work. Then, after Ellie, that's when we had a little baby that we have not got to see yet, and we look forward to seeing this child one day. And we lost this baby in between Ellie and your next brother, whose name is Sam. Sam and then Ben. And Sam and Ben are almost like a redo of Paul and Zach. Only they're a little more intensified, which is frightening, to be quite honest with you. Sam, again, is a lot like Anna in a sense that your brother Sam loves life. I would just ask you to think about the things he's going to want you to do before you do them. Come and ask me maybe before you do some of those things. But you're going to have a blast with Sam. I believe he'll be just old enough that he's going to be the fun older brother that'll take you places and do things. Sam's going places. He's got a great mind. Very smart boy. And Sam's got a good heart. He loves the Lord, and he loves your mom, and he loves your dad. And I know he loves you. Then we have Ben. Little Ben. Well, he's little now, but I think by the time you get to know him, he's going to be, as they say here in the South where we live, Jackson, a sure enough man. I think he's going to be like his brother Bubba. He's very creative. He loves to draw. He loves to color. And I imagine you'll have all kinds of fun with him as long as you don't mess with his stuff. So you might want to keep that in mind. But you will have a great time with Ben. Ben, I'll tell you what, Jackson, Ben was the one when you were first born who could not get enough of you. Matter of fact, there's a little video of the first time all the kids saw you, Jackson, and Ben was the one that said, "Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him." And Ben has loved you before you ever came into this world, Jackson, and I think you got some great days ahead with him. Then there's Emma. Emma Grace, and just be careful with her. That's what I want to say to you. As long as you understand that she's the queen of the world, you'll be fine. And bow to her every wish. If not, I hope you can run fast. But Emma is beautiful, and she's full of life, and she's very smart. And whereas Sam and Ben are like do-overs of Paul and Zach, Jackson, we have discovered thus far that Emma is really almost a perfect blend of Anna and Ellie. And we don't quite know what to make of that. But that should be quite an interesting person. So, and she's going to be your closest sibling in age. So I'm sure you two will have many adventures together. So that's a little bit about your family, Jackson. That's kind of who we are. And where we come from, and that's the family that God has placed you into. But the family doesn't end there. There's some other important people I want to tell you about. And this also comes from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 17:6. And it says, "Children's children are a crown to the aged." And that's a reference to grandparents. And Jackson, you got some great, and I should say wonderful grandparents, because great-grandparents could be confusing. You have some wonderful grandparents. Matter of fact, tonight, as of this recording, all four of your grandparents are here. Your mom's parents are Diane and Bob Adrian, and they came all the way here from Kansas City, Kansas, just to be here and be a part of this dedication service tonight, of helping us dedicate you to God's purposes. And you should know that your grandpa Adrian is a pastor, and that his father was a pastor, and that the Adrians have a great heritage of both men and women in the ministry and in God's service. Your grandpa Adrian, you will learn many things from. You will hear a lot about this guy. Zach's piano playing comes from him, probably. Plays the piano wonderfully. And he preaches God's word. Grandpa Adrian has been a faithful servant of God. And that's the Lord dialing in just to communicate that to us and tell us that's exactly right. That was your Aunt Faith's phone, by the way. I'll explain that to you later. And your grandma Adrian also comes from a wonderful family, a large family, and her mom and dad loved the Lord and raised your grandma in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that's how your mom was raised. So you are certainly blessed on your mom's side of the family. Now on your dad's side of the family, your grandpa and grandma Jettle are Tony and Judy. And they, right now, just live seven houses down from us. And if they stick around long enough, you will probably make your way down to their house through the backyard woods like your brothers and sisters have done for years. Poppy, that's what you call your grandfather on my side. We call him Poppy. He was an auto body man for many years, and he fixed wrecked cars, which was good because your Nana wrecked a lot of the cars that he fixed. She kept him in business. She backed right through the garage door one time, and Poppy fixed both the car and the door, and the next week she did it again. Backed through the... I think he just gave up on the door and fixed the car after that. But that's your Poppy. He's a fairly patient man, but he was a good dad to your dad, and he is a good man that has been saved by God's grace. Your Nana, that's Poppy's wife, my mom, is someone who also loves the Lord. She's probably the best preacher in the family, and she loves to read God's word, and she puts God's principles into practice in her everyday life. And I just want to tell you ahead of time, she will tell you that she loves you about 300 times a day. So you will never doubt that your Nana loves you. And just so you know, Nana pretty much loves everybody, and everybody knows. So that's a little bit about your family. Now, the Bible says this in Psalm 127 and verse 3. It says, sons are a heritage from the Lord. And what that means, Jackson, is that as my son, you are your mother and my reward. And the rest of that verse says, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And Jackson, I'm sad to tell you that you are coming into a world that not only does not value children, you're coming into a culture that hates children. We give lip service to loving kids, but all of our actions point to the fact that we despise them. We do not discipline them. We do not allow half of them to even make it into this world before snuffing out their life in the womb. And I don't know what life will look like when you become an adult, if this nation that we have known will even still have its foundation, because the judgment of God will surely fall on our country for what we have done in the area of children. But I want to say to you that God has plans for your life. God made you on purpose, and he made you for a purpose. And I don't want you to ever, ever doubt that. Psalm 127 goes on to say that like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. And Jackson, you are an arrow in my hand. And it is my job, with the help of God and certainly the partnership of your mother, and your siblings and your grandparents, it is my job to make sure that you fly straight and true. Arrows are not toys. Arrows are weapons. And you have been given as a weapon to ultimately stand for truth, expose evil, and destroy it for the glory of God. And that's why you're here. And you say, Dad, how are you going to pull that off? Because we've already figured out, Jackson, a couple things about you, even though you're so new. He's just, how old is he, Elizabeth? 10 weeks? You're just 10 weeks old, and one of the first things we notice about you immediately, right out of the womb, is how strong, physically strong you are. I've never quite seen anything like it. You are holding your head up right out of the womb. You have a strong grip. You can pull yourself up and do so often. And it's made me realize that I need to get back into really good shape, and if I'm going to raise you any kind of decent way. You're a strong man already, and I believe that that will continue. But how are we going to raise you straight and true so that you become a weapon for righteousness for the glory of God? Well, God has given us a plan, And it's in His Word in the book of Deuteronomy. And there's a man that's very special to your daddy. And his name is Jim Williams. And when you get older, you'll hear Jim say, "You ought to read the book of Deuteronomy. That's a good book." That's one of Jim's favorite books. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 kind of lays it out. And I just want to read this for you. Comment on the first few verses. And just to give you a heads up in advance, so this is how God has told your mom and dad that we are to raise you up with God's knowledge. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, it says this: "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God, Jehovah is one." Jackson, we serve one God. It is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Through something that you'll understand later called progressive revelation, it has become clear that this God has three natures: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but He is one. That is the foundation of all things. But then verse 5 starts to flesh it out for us a little bit. Verse 5 says, "Because God is the only one, you," he says, "shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength." And that's God talking to me and to your mom. That's our job. Our job is, first of all, to love this one God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And Jackson, there's no way in the world that we can lead you to love God with all of your heart, soul, and strength unless and until we do that same in advance. We model that for you. We show you what that looks like on good days and on bad days. Verse 6 says this in Deuteronomy 5. It says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." You see, Jackson, it's not enough to know it in your head, but son, you've got to know God in your heart. You have to have a relationship with God. And the love of God has to go from something that is knowledge to something that is experience. And you need to learn to walk that out. And know that your mom and I, we are still learning to walk that out. To have a heart after God. And then verse 7 says this. Here's what we're supposed to do with our love for God. It says, "And you shall teach them diligently to your children." That's talking about you, Jackson. God says that we are to teach God's commandments diligently to you. In other words, we need to have a plan to make sure that you understand what God requires of you. Now, I'm going to give you a little secret in advance. I'm going to tell you the truth, that you have no ability to keep God's commands, but we're going to teach them to you anyway. We don't expect you to be able to pull it off, but we're going to teach it to you anyway. Because one day, and our prayer is that it will be one day, at a very young age, you're going to realize that you can't be right and you can't do right, that you're broken, and that you need someone else to keep God's commandments for you. And it just so happens, Jackson, that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, not only to pay for your sin, your breaking of God's commandments, but to be your commandment keeper in your place. The reason for God's commands are to teach you your desperate need for Jesus Christ. He is the answer and your only hope. But in the meantime, we're going to keep you under God's law, that it might drive you to God's Son, so that you will not only be my son, but that one day, and it is my prayer, one day very soon, at a very young age, you will also be my brother. And that way, we will not only get to spend our life here together, we will get to spend our life in eternity together as well. So the Bible says that we are to teach God's commandments to you diligently. And then God tells us exactly what that's supposed to look like. He said, we're to talk about God's commandments when you sit at home. And also when you walk along the road. Now you got to understand that back in those days they didn't have cars. But that would translate today is when we're driving down the road, we need to be reminding you about Jesus and about God's commandments and about what is right and what is wrong. And it also says, not just then, but when you lie down. One of the things that you'll learn is that we do in our house is we always pray with you before you go to bed. Your brother Ben says, I need to get prayed. He can't go to bed. He says, I need to get prayed. So we say a prayer over you, and it's generally a prayer of blessing, that God would bless you in the night and that God would bring you to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we're gonna teach you about God when you lie down, but then also when you get up. When you get up in the morning, when it's time to wake, we will tell you again about God and His commands and His goodness to us. And Jackson, you're probably a smart kid. You can figure out that really doesn't leave any other time. And that's exactly right. Our life is to be constantly a life that reflects the kingdom values of loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then translating that to loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. So Jackson, God has given you to us. We welcome you to our family. We welcome you to our church family. Your daddy is a pastor, as of this recording, at Lake Wildwood Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. Sometime last week was our 14th anniversary of being here in Macon, Georgia. Got some great people in this church. About half of them are related to you. And the other half are related to you through the blood of Jesus. And there's some great people here that I'm thrilled that you will get to know as you grow under the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. So at this time, I'd like to ask my wife to come and all of my children and the grandparents and aunts and uncles that are here to come, and we'll just line up across here and we'll have a prayer of dedication. You can see my preaching knocked him out cold. Maybe that's what I should do. I should preach to him at night and he would sleep all night long that way. Or we should just play some CDs. Leave it going, yeah. Emma's sleeping too. Wow. Just turn around, gang. Kind of face. Come over here, Dave. You stand in the front, Ben. Push on in. There you go. All right. I guess I put Emma to sleep, too. All right. All right, let me sneak this over here. This will go. All right, we're going to start, and I'm just going to pass this phone. I want my dad to pray, and then, Dad, you can hand the microphone to Bob. And then I'll close us in prayer. Wait a minute, Elizabeth's rearranging the group. All right, Elizabeth says that you, my parents, Mom and Dad, you need to be over by Ben. That would make things easier. And I'll come around the front. There you go. Then the microphone won't be in front. Right here. Dad, Mom.
Father God, we thank you for Jackson. We pray that you'll bless him, that you'll keep him safe and healthy, and that he'll grow up to be the man you want him to be, Lord, and that he'll continue in your word. That's more important than anything, as long as he keeps up with you, Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for Paul and Elizabeth. And
amen.
Pray that you'll bless them, Lord, and guide and direct. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, over the years we've seen so many tears that have come from the eyes of parents who have reared their children in the nurture and in the admonition of God. And then as their children have grown older, they have decided to go in the ways of the world. And we know that the world has all of these attractions and all of these pulls. All of this stuff out there looks so much more exciting than the things of God. And here we are tonight to dedicate a brand new little boy into this world. And I pray that somehow you might take all of that stuff, let it be on the other side of a hedge that you might build around him. Never again will he be able to find, I know he's going to face these things, but give him the help and the strength. And may mom and dad have the abilities that we heard tonight to rear him in that bend that he has and that you have given to him. Because if anything, we want to see Jackson grow up and become a mighty man of God who will preach, if you call him to be a preacher or be a missionary or be an evangelist or whatever you have in store for him. May it happen, dear Lord. And somehow, some way, may you just give the ability to Paul and Elizabeth as they rear Jackson in the nurture and the admonition of Almighty God to do it in a way that Jackson will stay true and not fall away. Just help them, dear Lord. And I understand that Paul and Elizabeth are the ones who bear the greater responsibility of all of this and the rearing of Jackson, but some of this falls upon brothers and sisters, as we've heard tonight, and uncles and aunts and even grandparents and friends and other people. And I pray, dear Lord, that we who are related to Jackson might somehow influence him in the ways that he needs to go. Thank you for this church that you have provided for this young baby to come in the nursery and then in through the Sunday school areas and then into the preaching where we know he's going to hear the word of God. And may Paul ever be faithful to preach to his son and to his family the very things that are found in the precious word of Almighty God. Thank you again for this service. Thank you for this baby. May you bless him greatly. We ask it in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. And I meant to do this before I prayed, give you a heads up, but Jim Williams, would you come up here as our deacon at the church? And Jim also has a, you all right? Yeah. You can sit in this front row by Ben. I'll hand you the microphone. Push over, Ben. Not you, brothers.
Father, we come to you tonight, and it's a joyous time. New beginnings, new life, new hope, new opportunities. And Lord, we thank you that for this godly family and for the new one that you've brought into it and the influence that he will have, the privileges that he'll have, the truth that he will hear and see lived out each and every day. And it's our prayer, Lord, that you will help him, give him strength, give him wisdom, give him insight, and give all of us as a church and as a family. Our mission is to be along, come alongside and encourage him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I love this little guy already, and I thank you for the surprise that he was. And I pray that he would just be the joy that you intend him to be. That he will be a joy to his mom and a blessing to his family. But most importantly, Lord, it's not about us, that he would bring you glory and that he would be unwavering in his commitment to truth, in his commitment to your word, in his commitment to you and to your kingdom principles. And I pray that you would just, at a very young age, that you would irrevocably draw him to Jesus as he sees his need, and then as he only then comprehends the Savior. I just pray your blessing on him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, you have something to say?
Oh.
Banged your nose. I'm sorry. Go see mommy now. Ben just came up to me and said, "Dad, you owe me $11 for all the talking you did about me." Wow. This is a very expensive night for me, apparently. And Jim, were you able to write that letter for me? All right. Jim, this is something that we started doing a few years ago. Matter of fact, I got this idea from our mutual friend, Ward Slager. I don't know if you knew the history behind that, but I heard Ward told me he did that for one of Brian Moore's children, and I liked the idea. And Jim, as our deacon here at the church, has written a letter to Jackson, and it's sealed. And that will go in our lockbox in our house. And that letter is to be opened upon Jackson's public profession of faith in Christ. It is a letter written in hope. It is a letter written in faith that one day this young man will turn from his sins toward his Savior, and we'll open that letter, and we'll read and rejoice in the words that Jim has written there. I know Michael has written some of my children that same letter, and they're in that lockbox, so we will pick that up from you here in just a bit. Now, Jackson, there's one more thing you need to know. As long as we're in this church, and it is this, that we always close out what we do with a great anthem of faith. That's what your daddy calls it. It's called the doxology. And that literally just means the glory of God. And it's a little chorus, and we sing it together. You probably already know it. You've heard it when you were in your mama's womb for those 9 months, and you've heard it ever since. But folks, let's stand and let's sing that together. Praise God. Blessings flow, praise him all creatures here below, praise him above ye heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And I know you